All right, if you will, turn to the book of Chronicles. We're going to work out of the Old Testament this morning. Book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, to be precise, 1 Chronicles 29. I want to read just three verses, and then we'll see where those three verses lead us this morning. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 11 through 13. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is a kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Father, we do praise you, because all that we are and all that we have has come directly from thee. Father, we are needy. We are weak. Father, we have a sin nature that constantly trips us up. But you, Father, are able to make a stand. You are able to protect us. You are able to provide safety. Father, you are even able to draw us unto thee. And so this morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit minister to the needs of all of our hearts. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I like to start off with questions. I'll start off with a question. Who here this morning likes to win? Who likes to win? You know, I love to win, and I hate to lose. Anybody else like that? If I have a choice, I'd rather choose to be on the winning side. If I have a choice. When I was a child in school growing up, I always looked when they were choosing teams for sports and different things. I always looked for the bigger kids, because I figured that they would win. And so that was the team I wanted to be on. I wanted to be on the winning team. Do you know that life can be like that? It can be. The statement that David made, this that we're reading and that we read in Chronicles this morning, that was a statement that David made about God, and it was after God had given him a great victory. And this was actually a part of his prayer to God, reminding the people and himself about the fact that God was the one who won the battle. God was the one who gave him the victory. Now, it wasn't a matter of fighting an enemy. That's not what David was praising the Lord about. What he was praising the Lord about was sort of interesting. He had asked the people to bring some of the wealth that they had brought out of Egypt and to give it to the priests, to the Levites, so that when his son Solomon was old enough, that he would have the materials to build the temple. Solomon's temple. And he was praising God because God had laid it upon the hearts of his people to bring all these valuables, all these things for the temple. And that's what he was praising God for. And so I thought that was really neat. You see, David lived a major portion of his life in the victory that God gave. Well, you see, it's not us that earns the victory. It's God who gives it. And so many times people feel like, well, I just fail all the time. I can't do this. I can't do that. Stop trying. Let God do it. That's what He wants to do. That is what God wants. He wants to give all of us the victory. And David realized this about God. David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible tells us that. You want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart? Be like David. Now, David was a murderer. David did a lot of bad things in his life. He made a lot of bad decisions. But the Bible tells us that even David, with all the things he did, was a man after God's own heart. How can that be? Well, folks, I hope that everybody sitting here in this auditorium this morning knows Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because if you do, God has forgiven you everything that you have done against Him. And this morning, you are His child, and you are in line to experience victory in your life. That's something really special. Over the years, I've watched people compete in for different awards and different prizes, and I've watched them try and be victorious in competition. David wrote in Psalm 98:1, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory." So you want victory this morning? I'd like to have victory in my life. That means we need to have God in our life. That means we need to let God do the things that need to be done. Now, there's a part of life where some people cheat. Now, I know you wouldn't believe that. We even have folks in this church that would cheat. We had a game night a few weeks ago. And we were playing a game with dominoes called Chicken Foot. And there were two new people who had never played the game before. And you know that A.B. and Nancy cheated and won that game. Don't you hate it when people cheat? You know, there's a part of life where we can't cheat. There is. It's called faith. And faith can't be cheated or faked. Faith comes ultimately from God. And it's real. It's lasting, or it's the most worthless thing you ever tried to get a hold of. It depends on whether your faith is real or fake. God always provides the real thing. And the results of having the real thing were spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah talked about this in Isaiah 25:8. He says, he's talking about God now. Remember, Isaiah is a prophet. He's an Old Testament prophet. He lived about 550 years before Jesus Christ. And Isaiah said this, "He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take from off the earth, for the Lord has spoken it." Wow. He's ready to do that for you and for me. Wipe away all tears. Give us the victory. That's what he wants to be able to do, folks. This morning, we're going to look at something that should be pleasant for all of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're on the victory side. We are going to experience the victory. We're going to win the contest we call life. We're going to win at the end of the competition. Remember the video? We're all going to do it. We are. Unless the Lord comes back, we're all going to die. But at the end of our life, we're going to win. We're going to win. Right now, we live in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. How do you keep the mud of the world off of you? You know, we live in the world, but we're not supposed to be a part of it. And the world is covered with mud. It's got a lot of mud. And how do we avoid getting that mud on us? It's simple. A lot simpler than you might think. Is all you have to do is go around the mud puddle. Isn't that easy? Don't get in the mud with the rest of the world. No. And you don't have to. God's going to give you good ground to walk on if you follow him. We bring enough dirt of the world with us when we come out of the world to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. John understood that when he was writing his little epistles to the churches we find at the end of the New Testament. In John 5, verses 4 and 5, he says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory," there's that word again, "that overcometh the world, even our faith." And he goes on in verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Man, so simple. If you believe this morning that Jesus is the Son of God, you have already overcome the world. Now, you might not feel like you're winning the battle right now, but you are. You know that you're not going to lose the war. You're going to win the war because God's going to win it for you. So this morning, victory is yours if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ by believing that he is the Son of God. Now, does that mean that you can stop fighting? No, but it does mean that you can know how it's going to come out. You have to keep fighting, but you know how it's going to come out. In case you've forgotten, your side wins. It does. You're on the winning side. You're with the big kids. The devil's going to lose. And the thing that you don't want to happen, and we all have to be careful about this, the thing you don't want to be happening is you don't want to become a casualty. And that happens when we let our guards down. That happens when we accept defeat. At that point, we become casualties. And you know, a casualty is not able to do battle like a perfectly healthy person. Remember this, and I trust everybody here will remember this. Tim was talking about memorizing scripture, and I used to memorize scripture. In fact, when I was in Bible school, you see all the guys, and at that time, there was about 3,500 of us on campus, walking around with a deck of 3x5 cards in their hands, looking down, memorizing. Because we had to memorize a certain amount of scripture in order to pass some classes. I want to give you a verse of scripture that you can memorize. In fact, when you hear it, you'll already have it memorized. Okay? Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. So this morning, if you have faith, a little bit or a lot of it, that faith is what's going to get you to the victory. That faith has already overcome the world. When Jesus died on that cross and he said, "It is finished," it was. Victory was yours. He had earned it for you with his blood. And that'll never change. The devil will never overcome that, no matter what he does. This morning, you are a victor. Now, I forgot one thing I wanted to do this morning. There's a way that we can experience this faith, and that is if we will stay close to God. Sometimes we wander away. Sometimes we get so involved in life, we get so involved in our own stuff that we forget. God wants to make us victorious. And if we will stay close to him, that is my prayer every single day for all of us. Everybody who's gathered here, my loved ones, our friends, I pray every morning, God, give us safety. Give all of us safety, because safety comes from God. And then my next prayer is, keep us, draw us closer to thee. Draw us to thee. And I want to read a hymn. We sing it every once in a while. It's called "Close to Thee." Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Lead me through the vale of shadows, bear me o'er life's fitful sea. Then the gate of life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee. And folks, that's what he wants to do this morning. That's what he wants to do every day of the week that's going to be coming and that existed in this past week. He wants us to be close to him. And if we stay close to him, we are going to experience the victory. I want to read a passage of scripture. It may not seem appropriate for what we're talking about, getting the victory. because many times this passage of Scripture is used at funerals. It's used as we think of the second coming of Christ. And yet, it has some very pertinent things for you and I this morning. The passage is 1 Corinthians 15. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. And next time you read this passage, think about it in the way that I'm going to present it to you. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was a church with monumental problems. They had a young man living as husband and wife with his mother-in-law. And they had some really bad things going on in that church. Paul, writing to them in chapter 15, beginning at verse 51, says this: "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." He's talking about dying. "But we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." So folks, what we have, we are all at one time or another approaching this thing we call death. But for us, because we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, the victory has already been won, and death is not going to be a thing to be abhorred. It's going to be a thing to be embraced, because in embracing it, we will achieve the ultimate victory. We will become one with God. And that's what it's all about. Paul goes on to say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." People, it's not you and I that have to win this. God has already won it for us. And think about that. You have already got it waiting for you. The victory has already been won. Now, most people think this is just about the second coming of the Lord, but it's much more than that. It's about coming victory in Jesus. And this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that victory has already been won, and it's just waiting to be awarded to you. Does Paul make the Word of God wrong? No, absolutely not. We're reading this very same statement right now in 2019. We haven't completely achieved the victory yet, but it's coming. Paul, when he wrote this passage to the Corinthians, thought that Jesus Christ was coming back in his lifetime. Folks, that was over 1,900 years ago. Was Paul wrong? No. Because we are reading this, Paul just didn't realize which generation it was going to be. Now, I believe that maybe some of us are going to see that second coming of the Lord for his church. And if we don't, we still have that victory waiting for us. We do. If he does come back, we'll experience it then. If he doesn't, we will when we're done. When God says, okay, it's time to come home. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. But it doesn't end there. There's more. He asked where the sting of death is. It's sin. But you see, our sins have been forgiven. Now, the sins of the world haven't been forgiven. They're still going to have to bear the penalty of their sin unless you and I tell them about Jesus. Unless you and I can show them that they can be saved. Can anyone be permanently lost? Well, yes, there is a sin unto death. I don't know of anybody who's committed that. I don't think you do either. So, let's celebrate our victory throughout the rest of the life that God permits us to live. Now, I can't speak for you, but I'd like being on the winning side. What did we just read in 1 Corinthians 15? It's not the end. It's our victory. Because there's another group of people. We have two kinds of people here right now. We have believers, we have unbelievers. The believers at one of two times are going to go to heaven. Either when they die and they give up the ghost, or when the Lord comes back for his church. But there is one other group of people that we want to look at, because we are not all there is. There will be more. And I want to share a verse. We're studying Revelation on Sunday nights. We won't be doing it tonight because we're going to be eating. I don't know if we'll be done eating yet when Sunday night comes, but hopefully we will. Next Sunday, we'll get back into it. But in the book of Revelation, there is a group of people that most people have forgotten. And I want to read that. Revelation 15, chapter 15 of the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible. Concordance is not a book. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. Concordance is what comes after that. But Revelation 15, verses 2 and 3. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. This morning, folks, we all have a king. And it's not King Trump. It's King Jesus. He is our king. He is our Lord. He is everything. And so the day is coming when even death will be swallowed up in victory. When the Lord told John to write the book of Revelation, he was to give copies of it to all seven churches. Chapters 2 and chapters 3 are individual letters to all the churches, but the whole book itself was to be given to all seven of the churches. And in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, this is what it says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. How did Isaiah, over 500 years before Jesus came, how was he able to write this prophecy? And then we see it fulfilled in the book of Revelation. Isn't God marvelous? You know, one of the great things about God is he never lies. And so he doesn't have to remember what he's told anybody. That's the problem a liar has, you know, trying to remember who they told what. But God tells us just the truth. And he has promised us the victory. And so, folks, this morning, I want you to share in that victory. Oh, you may not be experiencing it yet, but one day you will. And now we can look forward to. Aren't you glad this morning that you're on the victory side? If you don't understand what I'm talking about this morning, see me after the service is over. I want to show you how you too can have the victory. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you have given us this thing we call victory. Help us, Father, to understand how much you love us. Help us to love you back. Help us to replace ourselves, Father. Show us the individual that is to take our place. And then, Father, prepare that individual's heart, that as we share the gospel with them through gospel track or through direct testimony or verbally, that they will be ready to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Thank you for each one who is here this morning and knows Jesus as their Savior. Be with us, Father, in our time of fellowship after the service is over. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.